We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you round the bend. You could fly me out to Paris just to propose. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Hi, this isn't Strange Bedfellows.
It's,
well, it is.
It is, because it is. It's still part of our content block.
I think contractually we have to say it's Strange Bedfellows.
Yeah.
Because then the advertisers will be like, we're not going to advertise on a show called Dad Talk. That's one episode long.
Yeah, exactly.
And it releases on New Year's Day.
Not a popular day to release a podcast.
By all measures, Strange Bedfellows, and I'm Tanner Greenring. It's a romance podcast.
And I'm Jack Shepherd, and this is the winter of our Chris content. Still. Even if it's not the same show.
Now, every week when we do our show, Strange Bedfellows, a romance podcast where we read romance books.
Yeah.
And sometimes watch romance movies.
Yeah. When we can.
This week's movie. Sometimes when we watch our romance movies.
Yeah.
Read our romance books. We write a poem. Now, technically, this week is, we're traveling. You're at grandma's house.
I'm at grandma's house, yeah.
My son is home. Not at the moment. I've sent him away. But
good.
His energy is still in the house, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can sense it.
Technically, you're off the hook. Well, this is not a traditional episode of Strange Bedfellows. It is dad talk.
It's dad talk, yeah. But we don't need to say that until the end.
Right. No, of course.
Yeah. It's a episode length.
So dad should
talk.
You have to do a poem?
No.
Yes.
Well, I didn't.
Oh.
So, but we should say that it's our content block where we're watching all the films. We're how to say this? We're like Charles Darwin when he set out on the Pequod?
Galapagos Highlands.
Yeah, and he wanted to categorize every Chris.
Well, I don't know what his intentions were. That's definitely our intentions.
Our intention is that. So we're maybe the metaphor ends
we're
there.
Like a modern
Charles Darwin.
Charles Darwin.
And his friend, I guess.
I guess I should just quickly stop down to say, if you came to hear the exciting conclusion to what happened to us,
Arbiter Tanner,
whisked away to the future to save Arbiter Tanner with Arbiter Jack.
You're going to be disappointed again.
Yeah, this is a little bit like an eye of a hurricane, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's quiet now, and we're like, all right, we've got just enough time to watch a few episodes of a kid's show with the boys and do an episode-length dad talk.
Mm-hmm.
No whammies, by the way.
We can't make any mistakes because of the onus on the editor.
Yeah, well, and again, we're in a pretty precarious situation being in the eye of this, like, temporal storm.
Yeah, we've got one eye on the horrors that are happening to Arbiter Tanner out in the future. But we've got time now to talk about kids and kids shows. But why this one? Well, it is, as I have said, the winter of our Chris content. And content. And
usually you write a poem. You didn't this week. That's okay. We're not going to guilt him over it.
I didn't have time to do anything this week except watch a few episodes of this show that you have suggested I watch that's for kids. And it's, we should say, buried the lead here, starring the great Chris O'Dowd.
Chris O'Dowd, yeah. He's a...
one of the great Chris's. One of the underrated
really
Chris's.
He's a really good Chris, but he's not like... When you say, who are the famous Chris's?
Yeah.
I don't think Chris O'Dowd is often
Pine,
making
Evans,
that
Pratt.
List.
But no one's saying O'Dowd. Fine, Evans, Pratt, O'Dowd.
O'Dowd, yeah. But I think he's one of my favorite Chris's.
One of the best.
Certainly very charming on this show.
Yep.
His accent is hashtag swoon.
Hashtag so swoon, yeah.
I thought you might have an issue with it.
No, it's fine.
Given your upbringing.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Not waters I think you need to be wading into. Just leave me to say whether or not I have an issue, and I don't.
I pitched it to you as Irish Bluey, which was a little bit of a...
That was a head fake. That was a lie.
Head fake.
Yeah, that was a big lie.
I just needed to get the hook in. Because it's not Irish Bluey. It's Irish Puffin Rock.
Puffin Rock.
Yeah, it's Irish Puffin Rock. There's nothing quite like it. And also, you know
Netflix
who else is
original?
You know who else is pitching it wrong?
Who?
The whole world. Do you say Ghibli or Ghibli?
Studio Ghibli.
So the whole world is saying, when you look up Puffin Rock, they're like, the Irish studio that creates Puffin
Netflix.
Rock. Sure, but there's a specific Irish studio that created it for Netflix, is the Studio Ghibli of Ireland. And that's kind of a lie, too. In the same way that this is the Bluey of Ireland is a lie, because it's like, yeah, maybe both of those things are true, but it's not like Bluey and it's not like Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, it's sort of its own thing. And to call it those things is to oversell it, I would say.
Yeah.
But that also is unfair to Puffin Rock because it's a very nice show.
It's very wholesome. Do you want, is now a good time for my joke or do you want to?
Hey, let's do our first hit segment first. Is it okay, a romance?
Yeah. Yes.
Vampires, BDSM, a cat dies, but is it a romance?
Okay.
You say yes?
No, it's not.
No, it's not at all.
Yeah, I was saying yes to the dress and the dress being let's do our segment.
Do the segment, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But no to the question.
Well, I think there's a lot actually to like about it. I think Chris O'Dowd is his voice is very nice. And
can I do a segment within a segment now?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
This is it's Puff. Hang on. I got to get the intonation right.
Yeah.
It's Puff in Facts with Jit. Sorry. Hang on. One sec. No whammies. It's Puff in Facts with this Justin Jack.
This Justin Jack?
This Justin. This just in, it's a Puffin Fact.
This just in, Jack.
Yeah, it's Puffin Fact. This just in, Jack. Yeah. Boop, ba-da-doop, ba-da-doop. Yeah. And normally we'd put that like fun, like, you know, ticker tape news, breaking news music underneath me saying that. But not this time because nobody has time to edit. There's so many children.
Yeah,
and
there's just children everywhere.
So little daycare.
Yeah.
But this is a good time in terms of romance. Puffins get together and they stay together for their whole lives.
Oh, that's cute. And you know what? Yeah. That's true of the show. The show has Mama Puffin and Papa Puffin. They haven't been given names. They've been sort of distilled down to their essence. Lost all of their Puffinhood.
Yeah.
Lost all of their personality, all of their identity, and have just become...
They've become Mama and Papa. Yeah. Relatable.
And they're together, and it seems like they've been together a long time and will be together a long time. They keep shitting out Puffin babies.
No, they don't. They just have two.
Well, still, the one of them's pretty young.
Should we do... So I'm thinking
had a Puffin baby.
In the course of this episode, I figure we can do like a little bit of a character ranking.
I think that would be good. I think it's important that we, as men in our 40s, really come down hard on these...
The ranking
sort
of the characters in Puffin Rock.
Lovable characters in Puffin Rock.
Puffin Rock is a little bit.
Is it a romance? No. The Puffin Rock is a little bit. Speaking of Galapagos, well, come on, it's for kids.
Okay.
Speaking of Galapagos Islands,
yeah,
it is a little bit of a Galapagos Island.
It is a little bit of a Galapagos Island. It's not. It's an island in Ireland,
Scotland,
famously called
Ireland.
Puffin Rock. Yeah, and it's based on, and all the Wikipedia articles and all the articles say like Puffin Rock is based on Puffin Rock. It's like, okay, it's not based on, you can't base a show on an island. You can't base a show.
I guess when I said it's sort of like Galapagos Island, what I meant was it's not exactly Galapagos Island, but in some ways it's like Galapagos Island.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's untarnished by human hands and eyes.
Yeah, only puffin hands and eyes have tarnished this island.
Well, lots of different animals.
Yeah,
it's
lots
sort
of different
animals. This is a highly relatable reference, and it's no whammy, so it's just going to have to stay in.
Okay.
In the same way that Torchwood was and Cardiff, England were like a hotspot for paranormal and like extraterrestrial and transdimensional activity.
Yeah, in the Doctor Who spinoff Torchwood, just for folks who aren't like hard in the Tumblr paint.
Puffin Rock is sort of like a nexus for all of the world's creatures.
Yes, everybody's hanging out on Puffin Rock, and it's not always peaceful, is it?
No, but they have sort of a very, I don't know, it's like a polite way of describing
the puffin death
which
that must
animals
occur.
Kill puffins.
Yeah, it's seagulls.
Seagulls and I think foxes sometimes, although the fox that they know is...
Yeah, so we've got Mama, we've got Papa, we've got Flynn.
Let's do Dramatis Personae. There's, first of all, Una.
Yeah, well, so here's what I did.
The titular puffin.
I'll say now, I sat down to write a character, like, bio for each of the major characters, and I only got as far as writing the bio for Una. So can I say it?
Let's hear it.
Una is the hard-driving, sand-blasting, seagull-scaring baller of the bunch. This hard-headed gull stomper is on a seagull diet. She sees gulls, she eats them. They call her Una because Una is what you're going to be saying when she curb stomps your sorry ass and leaves you for dead. That's not actually at all what she's like.
I've seen a lot more. I've seen all of this show.
I've only seen, so you recommended it to me because you and Miles watch it together, I hope.
Yeah, Miles and I watch it together. Okay, Miles good. Is a bit of a sweetie. He's a softie.
You know what? And I was thinking that the whole time because I watched it with Cyril and he was like, not that interested. But Lewis, little Lewis, was like, can I say something? Can I admit something?
Yeah.
I've never shown my children, either of my children. I realized yesterday in watching this, I have never shown either of my children an age-appropriate television program, ever.
I usually don't either. No. I think
so this is like the first time Lewis has seen something that's like for his age. He's two. And he was mesmerized by these puppets. Mesmerized.
Yeah.
So excited to watch it.
Do you want to quickly say your joke now? Seems like
now's the time for the joke. Okay, yeah. And I should say that I got carried away with my description of Una. It's nothing. She's nothing like that.
No, she's very bad. Pretty, like, soft, nice, like, kind, playful, young puffin girl.
I was trying to inject some tension and some conflict where there is none. And which I felt, though Lewis didn't, that the show needed a little bit of. Yeah.
I could have used some more. I'll admit, I'm usually playing Pokemon when I'm watching Puffin Rock. So.
Yeah.
It's I'm only really perking up when I hear Chris O'Dowd, you know?
Yeah, no, same. I'll sit back. Is it time for my joke?
I would love for you. So I've heard the joke. I'm going to try to forget it.
Yeah.
Because I want to come at it like.
Yeah, you want to come at it clean. So we should say I'm 2 for 3 on this joke. Well, I think 2 for 4. So I told the joke to Sarah. And then I think Sarah told the joke to her mom, but not as like, oh, this is a great joke. Jack told,
she didn't
but
do
like
it with the proper setup. And how familiar is your mother-in-law with Puffin Rock?
Well, she is the one who gave me the term "dull" thought technology to describe it.
Yeah.
So yeah, she watched it with me and Lewis and Cyril, and she kind of dozed off a little bit and occasionally woke up to comment on how dull she was.
How dull it is. Yeah.
And I don't think Sarah told the joke to her in good faith. It was like, I can't believe what Jack said. And then she didn't like the joke. But you liked it. And I think you told it to your wife and she liked it.
She laughed so loud. I couldn't finish the joke.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I'll just say,
and it actually gave me an idea for how to maybe like restructure the joke. But I do think your delivery is the best.
It's key
delivery.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll just come and say it. So, the joke starts this way. And should we do it with.
We should invite Tanner Green Ring Joke Explainer.
Yeah, can we
sort
invite
his purview?
Yeah,
you know?
We should say Tanner Green Ring Joke Explainer, very, very famous character from our Patreon show.
Yeah, if you don't listen to the Patreon, go listen to it. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast.
Yeah.
How to explain Tanner Green Ring Joke Explainer? He's sort of a different guy from me. I leave.
Yeah, you
he
go.
Comes and he he listens to the joke and then I guess explains it.
Yeah, and. Often does a pretty good job, honestly. It's not like, it's not really a bit in that, like, you would expect him to, like, fail to explain it. But he's usually can get it.
Usually he can get to the core of it pretty quickly. I'm going to leave.
Okay, you're going to go. Yeah, all right. Tanner Green Ring Joke Explainer, I'm so glad we have you here. Normally we have explain...
So
jokes from shows.
Last time you asked me to explain a joke, let's see, what was it? It was a sex joke, definitely, that you didn't understand.
That's right,
someone was buying a sex worker.
Yes, somebody was making a joke about a sex worker that I just didn't get the double entendre. Yeah, but thanks to
it's
you.
It's good to be here. Wow, and you don't usually invite me during the daylight hours like this.
Well, this is a kid's show today. We should say it's 9 in the morning.
Is this COPPA compliant, this episode?
And it's about to not be because on account of the joke.
You know?
Yeah. But because it was until the joke. And now the joke and it's not.
Okay.
So okay, so I'll just say it. Let's see. Okay, and it starts this way. What's the difference, Tanner Greenring, joke explainer?
Yeah.
Between crack addict and my son Lewis.
I don't know what.
One's into Puffin' Rock, the other's into Puffin' Rock.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Because crack addicts like to smoke crack
puff rock. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Puff the rock.
That's why you're here. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Puffin' Rock is the name of a popular Irish kids show for sort of preschool age kids.
And I should say, Tanner Greenring joke explainer, I was thinking about restructuring the joke to say something like somebody who
Netflix
has
original,
a problem with crack or something, because crack addict feels like. It feels like aggressive and it feels like of the 90s in a way that
wouldn't
say it, but I can't, you need the joke to be really tight terminologically in order to work. Cause ultimately the truth of the matter is that there's not a lot in common between the two categories, except there's this one over now. I'm Jack Shepherd joke explainer.
This is part of it though. It's a symposium, you know?
Yeah.
This is what Tanner Greenring joke explainer always hopes the episode will become sort of a
The thing I'd say is that, like, what's funny is that there's so little in common between these two categories, and yet this one place, it's just so tight what they have in common. They're
Jamie
both
laughed
into the, Puffin' Rock.
Jamie laughed the first time I said crack addicts like to like Puffin' Rock.
Yeah,
and then she started laughing so loud I couldn't say, and Lewis likes Puffin' Rock. So it got me thinking that maybe there's an alt approach to this joke. That's what do my 2-year-old son and a crack addict have in common, and they both
Puffin'
love
Rock.
Puffin' Rock, but it doesn't. I don't know if it works quite as well.
That's pretty tight. No, I actually think I like that better. Yes, that's good. They both love Puffin'
All right,
Rock.
So let's take another
better
run
version.
At it. Yeah. Let's get a few seconds of silence here, just so we can have a clean.
Okay.
Here we go.
What do my 2-year-old son and a crack addict have in common?
What?
They both love Puffin' Rock. That's great.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yes. That's great. I think that's much tighter. Yeah. And again, you know, I don't love the terminology. A 2-year-old son is fine, but it's not.
I should go. I've been away from X for far too long.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see. Yeah.
Far too many jokes are going unexplained right now.
Tanner Greenring, welcome back. Tanner Greenring, joke explainer, did a great job explaining the joke. And
you know what's a weird thing he does when we kind of pass each other in the studio hallway?
Tell me.
Is he always goes in for a handshake, but he goes in really fast and right towards my crotch.
Oh,
and it always makes me like flinch, you know?
Yeah.
And I think why he does it.
He hasn't said to you, "That's why I do it"?
No.
Because you'd feel like Tanner Greenring.
Because I don't think
joke
it's
explainer.
A joke. I think it's sort of aggressive.
You know? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's trying to very subtly Jet Li the one me.
Well, and I'm realizing like I was lulled. He was like totally cool with my pretty off-color joke. And I was like, oh, well, that means it's okay. But it's like maybe like that sample of people being cool with your off-color joke isn't a good sign.
I think the problem with Tanner Greenring joke explainer is he doesn't really have a solid sense of like morality or a code of ethics. Like,
yeah,
he's just there to explain the joke, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to be a little careful. You can't go to him for like guidance.
That makes sense. Do you want to take a quick break for it's Puffin Facts with this Justin
with this Justin.
It's Puffin Facts with this Justin Jack.
Yes, please.
Let's see. They have radiator beaks.
Radiator beaks. What does that mean?
They got radiator beaks. Their beaks have like so many blood vessels in them because when they're flying, they get super cold. But
yeah,
they're like
cold too.
Because it's cold out there.
There's an episode where I should say their best friend is a little shrew.
Yeah, so that guy, I'm going to rank him named Mossy. Mossy. I'm going to rank very high on my character ranking.
He's number
when we get
three for me.
Up to it. He's major, major ranking, like second only to maybe Bernie.
Oh, I think he's three for me behind Baba and Bernie for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Baba's pretty good. Baba. So we haven't said anything about the show.
No, we shouldn't. Let me finish my thought.
Okay.
Though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're stuck on the cliff. You got to watch the show. If you're into like,
if you're anywhere between the age of 2 and 5, you must watch the show.
Yeah. Or if you're looking for just something to kind of like have on in the background that you don't have to pay attention to in any way. Something
it's surprisingly
dull
for like,
adults.
You like really won't miss anything, even if you miss the whole episode. It's very sweet. It's extremely sweet.
They're on the cliff with Mossy,
very wholesome.
Baba,
yeah.
Una, Mossy, mm-hmm. stuck on a cliff. Don't remember yeah. how they got up there. Una's trying yeah. to learn how to fly. Puffins mm-hmm. can fly and dive. So sometimes we are in the air, sometimes we're on the ground, sometimes we're underwater.
They can dive up to 60 meters. I got my puffin facts from a British source.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know how far that is, but it sounds far.
I think a meter is like 30 feet. So that's
wow.
That's a long way.
Yeah.
They are stuck on the cliff. It's a snowstorm. It's really pounding. And you see Papa Puffin, struggling
yeah.
in the wind.
Yeah.
You can't
it's
even
pretty
hear
scary.
Them shouting. And I was yeah. sitting there wondering, like, how do these things fucking survive in this subarctic weather?
Yeah, but it's in Ireland.
Sure, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Subarctic meaning, like, below the Arctic.
Yeah.
So yeah. Tell me more about their beaks.
Radiator beaks.
And they got, that's it?
They have, like, so many blood vessels in them that they, like, heat up, and they, like, heat up their whole faces.
So it just keeps their whole selves hot with their
It's kind of like
face.
What I imagine Sub-Zero has in his mask.
Mask, sure.
Because he's so cold. But
although I think Sub-Zero doesn't need to keep warm. I think
you think he likes to be that cold?
He has to be cold.
That's
yeah.
pretty normative. But
I haven't played the... Do you know he had his own solo game?
No. That
it was
bad.
It was like yeah. Use the same kind of mechanics and side-scrolling as Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
But it was like a single-player like adventure game, like Ninja Gaiden.
Like, what's going on with Sub-Zero? He's bad, though.
I think
anyway,
he's like an anti-hero.
I think he has a puffin beak mask where that keeps his face warm.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And it lets him dive?
Lets him dive up to 60 meters.
Do you want to do our Puffin Rock... let's think of a good sort of dynamic segment title for our character ranking.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Puffin Power Ranking. Puffin.
The Puffin Rock Power Rank PR. Puffin Rock Power Rank.
Do we need another PR?
I feel like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Whew.
Puffin Rock.
Here's what popped into my head. I'm just going to say it. It's a Noemi's episode, so I'm just going to say what popped into my head, and you can like.
How about this?
It's nothing.
Pretty okay. Raw, Puffin Rock, Power Rank.
Okay, this still works. The thing that popped into my head. And if nothing else, even if it seems as bad as I know it is, you'll know something about me because it's what popped into my head.
Okay.
If for the purpose of this segment, we agree that we're characters called Pingo and Ringo.
Yeah.
Then it's the Pretty Raw, Puffin Rock, Power Ranking with Pingo and Ringo.
Okay. I think that's okay.
Okay,
but
thank you.
I do think anytime we do a power ranking from now on, yeah. we have to be Pingo and Ringo.
Okay, yeah. Okay, but I'm Pingo.
Okay, I'm Ringo.
Yeah, okay, I'm Pingo.
I'm Ringo. This is our Puffin Rock, pretty raw Puffin Rock power ranking.
Yes.
Because this is a Dad Talk episode, no whammies.
Yeah.
Recorded on Christmas vacation.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here. I'm excited to tell you about a little money-making project that Evil Tanner and I are cooking up called WetterHelp. It's basically the same concept as our sponsors, BetterHelp, but we're not going to run into any copyright problems this time because WetterHelp does everything our competitors do, but we do it soggier, damper, and with a 100% moistness guarantee, or your money back. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. But if you want to get absolutely drenched, BetterHelp has literally nothing to offer you. At WetterHelp, we'll spray you down with a hose, steep you for a full half hour in the most sodden, saturated slop we can find, and then throw you in a lake. The only thing BetterHelp can do is find you a therapist to work through your stuff in a way that will help you face the world and practice self-care, all while completely bone dry. If you want to develop self-awareness that helps you build a social life that doesn't drain your battery, or find a healthy balance in your relationships with other people in your life, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime...
Tanner! I just don't think this one works. Tanner!
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
And so far we've got Una. She's the hard-driving, sandblasting, seagull-scaring baller of the bunch, and she's, like, pretty low on the power ranking.
Yeah, let's count how many there are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 characters on the Wikipedia page.
And we've heard about Una. She's the main character, but she's, like...
10.
She's always getting into trouble. I was reading some Reddit conspiracy theories about Puffin Rock.
Yeah.
And one of them is that, like, Una should have left the nest at her age, but the fact that she hasn't is, like, causing all of this trouble for the whole
thing.
She's
family. Still learning. That's the whole point. Well, she's learning how to be a puffin.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's not my conspiracy theory. But she's, like, she creates a lot of the tension such as it is.
Yeah.
And she seems to be left in charge of Una, who's, like, kind of number one with a bullet. Pretty good character. Though I put Bernie pretty high, too. He's a crazy hermit crab. Absolutely.
I think Bernie's really good.
So, I guess bleep that.
Bernie is everyone helps Una. Yeah. Everyone in the extended cast helps Una in a certain way.
Yeah.
And Bernie is the wise and old hermit crab who I think mostly teaches Una about fucking, because in a lot of the episodes, his female hermit crab is coming over from a neighbor island to
have a date. Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just like subtle branding. It's a Netflix show, we should say. So yeah, they're like, they have to get their like Netflix and chill is the official tagline of Netflix.
Yeah.
And so they have to like get that in there some way.
He's good though. He's my number one. And then Baba's number two. Says only one thing. Baba Boo.
Baba's number two. So you put Bernie number one. Well, here's a question. And so this is actually, I think the question that animates the show. Chris O'Dowd, is he their god?
Oh.
And then if so, should he be on the character ranking? That's sort of two questions. Yeah. Is he their god?
It's so hard to describe his relationship with them. He's like saying what we're thinking.
Is he their god? And I
maybe
guess
he's our god.
Question A1, who's he talking to? Because he'll say like, it's
you know
a
what
lovely
I think
day
it
on
I think it's
Puff.
Like,
I've got a good Chris O'Dowd accent and you absolutely stepped
I
on
heard
it.
The beginning
just
of it.
Let
it's
me
not
say
good.
It's a lovely day on Puffin Rock. It's a lovely day on Puffin Rock.
It's a lovely day on Puffin Rock.
It's a lovely day on Puffin Rock. And,
what's
going
up to?
Going for
mine's
a little walk.
So much better than yours.
Mine was so
you're
good,
British.
And you stepped on it. It was coming out so good, and you stepped on it. But that's what he's like. But he's also like, he's so
rock.
Nice. It's a beautiful day in Puffin Rock. And what's Una up to? She's
lucky.
She's about to be okay. Fuck
it's,
you.
It's you have to do. It's like programmed into your British sensibility.
Well,
like
anytime that's
you do
the thing.
A
when
British
I,
impression, it's got to be offensive.
When I first said it, it was coming out good, Irish. And you stepped on it, and then now it's just like a terrible caricature.
I think he is definitely some kind of omniscient narrator. And if you told me that our reality had an omniscient narrator, I would say, "Oh, you—that sounds like God." Is what you're describing.
But he like God. I mean, he seems nice, very nice. But he'll like let them. Like the episode I'm thinking of, like Una like goes to see the supermoon, and she like digs a hole in the sand because she's like excited to see the supermoon, and then she falls asleep. Puffins can dig real good in the sand. She falls asleep, and then like she's lost, and like Chris O'Dowd is like, "Oh, Una's lost." Her parents are like so fucking scared. Like, are they going to find her? And they're all like, Una, please, where are you?
I think it's like,
and he's like, and then like they eventually find her. And he says, what a super adventure and what a super moon. And that was so good. The intonation for Chris.
He doesn't have like a lisp. He's got like the sweetest
don't
little like
dwell
trooper,
on the bad
you
parts.
Have to do like the you have to do Sean Connery.
What a super adventure and what a super moon. But he it's nice in a way, but it's also like help them.
I don't think he can. I think he's disembodied. Yeah. I think Chris O'Dowd is God. He's set the micro world of Puffin Rock in motion. And now without a body to further into, he gave everything. He gave all of his physical corporeal being
to bring it into
to bring
existence.
Puffin Rock and all the animals into existence.
And now all he can do is say it. And he doesn't even know. It's like he might be saying it in his mind. He's saying it to an uncaring universe. He doesn't know that we can hear him.
Right.
But it's like, all I have now, I gave of myself that these puffins might exist. And now I can't even care for them. All I can do is say their day.
Right.
And I might be saying it to no one.
And he doesn't even know if by saying it, he's making it real or if he's simply just narrating reality. He's not even sure.
Yes. And neither are we. And he, okay.
So
yes.
He's God. He's number three on my list.
Yeah. I would put him after, Baba and Bernie, the funny hermit crab.
Yeah, me too.
So I think we're pretty in agreement. So it's Baba number one, Bernie, Chris O'Dowd, the unseeing god, the blind god of Puffin Rock.
Yep.
And then Mossy, absolutely coming in.
Eurasian pygmy
fast
shrew.
And furious at number four. What a character.
He's
good
great.
Character.
All
so
he likes
much
to do
fun.
Is eat.
Some of these
so
characters
selfish.
Maybe want to eat the puffins. And so they get like downranked pretty hard. That's what I think Flynn the Fox, who seems pretty nice, like.
Yeah. That low. I would say
she's going to be low because like
now
you get a sense that she wants to eat these nice puffins. And she's like, it's only politeness that's holding her back.
Yeah. But Mossy's great. Mossy only eats berries and that's all he does. Mossy's one big flaw is that he's very selfish, but he's learning how to share more and share better.
Yeah. And that's fine. And I'm used to that. In my world,
May Bunny.
Yeah,
Bunny. I think cute the bunny. Only thing that May ever really teaches us is the same thing that the hare taught us in the Aesop's fable.
Mm-hmm.
May likes to constantly challenge everyone to races, and then I think often loses those races.
Oh, I see the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah,
yeah, fair enough. Yeah, so it's kind of derivative character.
Apple didn't fall far from the tree on that one.
Oh, who's May's daddy or mommy?
Made it doesn't have a daddy or mommy.
Okay, so what's the tree and what's the apple?
Oh, the tree is the hare from the tortoise and the hare.
Oh, I see.
And the apple is May, the rabbit from Puffin Rock.
Got it. Do you want to pause and stop down for it's hang on. It's Puffin Facts with this Justin Jack.
Wow, pretty good that time.
Pretty good, but I think I want to say like this Justin. It's Puffin Facts with this Justin Jack.
It's Puffin Facts with this Justin Jack.
Nicknamed sea parrots or clowns of the sea. I'd like to stop down on this one. I've seen a couple places say they're nicknamed sea parrots, but I want to accuse National Geographic kids who yes.
Okay.
I want to accuse National Geographic kids who added clowns of the sea of being like, is that just you that have nicknamed them that?
Yeah.
National Geographic
kids. And
we're
pitching a new nickname.
Writer, you know,
clowns
like,
of the sea.
Freelance writer for Nat Geo kids who needed an extra puffin fact or wanted to spice up a perfectly good one. Is it just you?
Puffins already had a pretty good name.
That puffin. Have named them clowns of the sea.
Everyone
I call
knows
them
what a puffin is.
Clowns of the sea.
What's your puffin fact?
That's it. That's they're it? Nicknamed sea parrots or clowns of the sea. What are you looking at? You're back checking my puffin fact? Is that what it is?
No, I went to go see if anyone else. I went to go Google clowns of the sea to see what.
That's good. That's exactly the wrong way to do it, but I love that. Yeah.
To see if puffins came up.
Yeah,
and
that's
an article
smart, actually.
From Newsmax about Mike Huckabee came up, and I was trying to figure out how Newsmax and Mike Huckabee were in any way related to puffins and clowns.
Are they calling Mike Huckabee a clown of the sea?
No, that's exactly where I've gotten hung
isn't
up.
He from like I Arkansas?
Fell into the, this
like,
is
he's
like
from
the,
a pretty landlocked
this is the
state.
Newsmax like trap and we have both fallen into it.
Yeah, it's probably not a rabbit hole worth going down.
Next in the line, Silky.
Silky.
Puffins can dive up to
60 meters. I already told you that.
And Silky is a harbor seal who often joins Una and Baba when they're underwater.
They both share an insatiable craving for fish.
Yes. And one of the things that puffins seem to learn to do at a very young age is carry a bunch of fish in their beak.
Yes. It's time for It's Puffin Facts with this Justin Jack.
Perfect. And
it's,
now that time you got it.
They have serrated. So this is a direct quote. I can't remember where I took it from, but I don't want people to accuse me of plagiarism. I'm saying the words that they said.
Right.
They have serrated bills so they can hold their fish in place. One puffin was recorded holding 83 small sand eels in its bill at once.
Wow.
Which
That's pretty
puffin?
Impressive. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's, name him.
Yeah, name him.
Give him credit.
And who's going around counting these damn sand eels and doing nothing for them? But 83 is a lot.
We kind of lost track of the ranking. I'm going to say May is pretty good. I don't mind May. Six.
Yeah, May's fine.
Silky
six.
Doesn't get featured.
Do you want me to start?
10.
Because we're going to have to say the ranking at the end, and we're going to be so disappointed if we don't. So let's see. We've got number one. Number Bernie. One right now is, are we saying Bernie or Baba?
Bernie.
Bernie? Baba.
Confidently Bernie.
Number two. Three. The blind god.
Chris O'Dowd. Four. Mossy.
Mossy coming in fast and furious.
I'm going to say five. I like May at five, the rabbit.
Let's see. Do I want to challenge that?
The only animal I see going May above May potentially, and who I'm going to kind of pitch for six now.
Yeah.
Is Spikey.
Yeah. Spikey is what I was going to say. Spikey's a funny little hedgehog. I think we
Bob's
put Spike.
Friend.
Yeah. And I think that puts Spikey up just above May, the rabbit. So
okay,
we're going to
so
put
Spikey five, Spikey. May six. May's Bob a little cocky, best. I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hold it against her. But
no, I mean, everyone has their flaw. Mossy's
everyone has their
greedy.
Flaw. They're all learning to be grown-up puffins.
Yeah.
I mean,
Silky's
except the other animals.
She's stuck underwater.
So were we rating Silky?
I didn't get a lot. Like, just Silky's kind of a buzz in my head. So
can't get a read on
I'm
Silky.
I'm saying like 9 or 10.
Yeah, okay. So
we'll
put
Silky. But we've
already
got Una down around 9 or 10.
Are we ranking the parents?
And Flynn around 9 or 10.
Do we rank the parents?
Total. Yeah, we're going to rank the parents.
Okay.
I like them both. I think they're both kind. I think it's weird that they make their like 3-year-old daughter watch their 1-year-old son.
Yeah, especially given how often she almost dies. I've said there's no tension in this show, but like she does often almost die. The seagulls are very bad.
The seagulls, like you wouldn't expect the seagulls to be like the menacing, like frightening.
Yeah.
Antagonists, but they are.
And they like sometimes
Except
like
the
baby
babies.
Seagull
the babies
will
are
get
really
like trapped in fishing wire and like Una and Baba will and some like freaky ass crabs will like save the baby seagull. And then when the parents come, they still try to eat the puffins. Yeah. They're not like, thanks for saving my baby. They're like, now
they're
we
kind
will
of
eat.
Mindless.
Yeah.
The crabs, except for Bernie, are a little mindless. The shrews, except for Mossy, are a little mindless.
Yeah.
And the seagulls are mindless.
The seagulls are mindless. Okay. Otto?
Owl. And his owl buddies.
Do we want to put Otto just under May?
Otto's thing seems to be that they are teaching Una how to fly.
Yeah, which is that rules. And puffins can fly. They're not like their friends, the penguins. Puffins can fly. It's like hard for them to do. It takes a lot of their energy, but they can fly.
Otto is also a caregiver.
Yeah.
Kind of an older sibling to like two younger owls. Then they don't ever seem to have parents around.
It's a Hard Knocks Island.
So let's put Otto maybe right. I'm going to put Otto right below May.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Okay. And then we've got Chloe. It's the final one.
Yeah.
Arctic Tern.
Yeah.
Comes by twice a year, flying from the Arctic to the Antarctic and then back again.
I guess kind of cool. I don't have a lot to say. Yeah, so we'll put her
certainly
under.
Certainly better than the parents and Flynn and Una.
Okay, Otto and then Chloe. And then I think, so now we can slot in.
Una.
Flynn first. Well, let's put the parents above Flynn because Flynn does want to eat them, right?
Yeah.
Papa and Mama are kind of just like one entity. Then Flynn and then I think Una.
Yeah, that sounds right. So
okay,
let's
you want
get
me
the,
to read this back to you?
Let's get the Pretty Raw Puffin Rock Power Ranking with
Pingo and Ringo.
Pingo and Ringo. And I'm sorry we didn't do a lot of the Pingo and Ringo stuff this time.
Yeah.
We'll get to that next time.
Yeah. I'm Pingo, he's Ringo, and this is the Pretty Raw Puffin Rock Power Ranking. Let's get to it, folks. It's what you've been waiting for. Number one with a bullet. It's Bernie the Hermit Crab. He teaches the puffins about doing it.
Yep.
Then we've got...
And being old.
And being an old guy. Yeah, and wise. And he has this, like, psychosexual drama that's playing out between him and the, like, regular crabs.
Yeah, I
can't
he's
quite
like
figure
god
out.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gods within gods here.
Yeah. So that's Bernie number one. Then number two is Baba, real little cutie. It's often just being like a little ball and like rolling around.
Una's
little brother.
Baba
very
boo.
Cute. Baba boo. Number three on our Puff and Rock power ranking, the blind god, Chris O'Dowd. He breathed them into creation and in so doing lost his corporeal form and his ability to interact with the universe that he created in
sort of
the
tragic.
Infinite sadness.
But he remains upbeat and like charming.
Yeah. All that is left to him is to narrate the proceedings on Puffin Rock. And even he doesn't know whether by speaking, he is speaking them into creation or whether he is just recording what's already happening. Nor does he know that we can hear him. He believes that he is speaking into the void, into the eternal, endless sea.
Yeah.
Okay, that's number...
Three.
Number four, Mossy, coming in fast and furious.
Pygmy Shrew. Very cute.
Pygmy Shrew, real
loves,
cutie.
Loves eating berries.
Yeah, love this guy. Number five is Baba's bestie, Spiky.
What? Stop for a second.
Okay, yeah.
Mossy is the head of the Shrew crew, and all of them seem like beasts too, so is perhaps Mossy another minor god?
Mossy
of the Shrews.
Is the god of the shrews. Yeah, a minor god of the shrews. That sounds right. Because some of them are like animated and speak. And then some of the animals, like the seagulls, don't seem to have any
the
like
hedgehogs don't speak
intelligence.
At all.
Yeah.
The
so
hedgehogs
that's pretty interesting.
Don't seem to have intelligence either.
Yeah. So Mossy's number four. Baba's bestie, Spiky, number five. Then we've got May the Rabbit. Fine.
Six. Fine.
A little bit of a problem with the narcissism. Otto comes in at number seven. I can't.
Yep. Owl, yeah. Barn owl.
Barn owl.
Cute. Nice.
Cute. Friendly.
Caretaker. Orphan. Three orphaned kids. The bigger brother taking care of the two younger ones.
Yeah, we love Otto. It's kind of an unfair ranking, but a lot of these guys are good. So far, everyone's good. Then we're getting into the like less good territory. We've got Chloe.
I wouldn't say it's unfair. Yeah. I would say it's pretty raw.
It's pretty raw. That's the thing. We warned you. That's what it says on the tin. Bingo warned you, and then Ringo warned you. So don't come complaining to us. Now we've got Chloe, an Arctic Tern, who just there's not much to say about.
Yeah, it's sort of an interesting story.
Yeah, it's an interesting story,
and
but they don't
that maybe
dwell on the
songs.
Interesting parts of the story. Yeah, she does songs. We should say, let's stop down now to say that the theme song, absolute fucking banger.
Oh, so good. It'll get stuck in your head so
it slaps
fucking
so
hard.
Come and play on our little island. If you look, you'll see. We'll be here come rain or shine. In the sky or the deep. Puffin Rock.
You know what it sounds like?
A crack addict.
A little bit. It sounds like, what's the first chapter of the Bible called?
Genesis.
It sounds like Genesis a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's all about the natural world coming and like the energies of the world coming out and they're always there.
Maybe that's the incantation that the blind god Chris O'Dowd spoke to speak them into existence in the first place.
I think
the
so.
Song was so beautiful that it created
And then it ends
world.
With Puffin Rock.
Yeah,
it's really,
really nice. And then does he say, what does Baba say? Baba Booey?
Baba Boo.
Yeah, I think
say
he
Baba
says
Booey.
That.
He should take it back from Howard Stern.
Okay, so then we've got Chloe, then we got Papa and Mama. It's nothing against them. They're just like...
They're nothing. They're great parents. They like provide for... They have a burrow and they bring
they're like,
fish home and they let
what's
their
the opposite of helicopter
fun.
Parents?
Submarine parents.
Submarine parents. They're like out.
They're
somewhere.
About, but you can't see them.
Yeah, they're submarine parents. Yeah. They were like really letting Una and Baba do whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes that equals like
Did
maybe
we
getting eaten
submarine
by
parents?
Seagulls.
Because if so, we should like fucking trademark that.
Well, we won't be able to because technically Pingo and Ringo will have invented submarine parents just rules of this segment. Okay. Okay. Okay, so Bubba, yes. So that's it. So there are submarine parents. They don't do much.
No.
Then we've got Flynn. Flynn's a fox. We're just suspicious of her. That's why I can't rate her any higher. Like, I think she wants to eat the puppets.
Yeah, I think if the blind god and us weren't watching,
she would eat the puffins.
She would eat the puffins.
100%. And then finally, at number 10, I guess, is Una. She's the hard-driving, sand-blasting, seagull-scaring baller of the bunch. This hard-headed gull stomper is on a seagull diet. She sees gulls, she eats them. They call her Una because ooh, nah, is what you're going to be saying when she curb stomps your sorry ass and leaves you for dead. Pretty good.
That's Puffin Rock.
Yeah, that's Puffin Rock.
Something you'll probably love if you are two to five. Addicted to crack.
Yep.
Yeah, always works. It works however it's delivered.
Yeah, it's kind of a very good joke. It's a perfect joke.
There's just so many ways to get it out there.
We don't have time for our name generator. Which Puffin Rock character are you? But like, I feel like we've given you, Pingo and Ringo have given you.
Yeah, we can't do it because we're tools. Pingo and Ringo.
Yeah.
We can't take off Pingo and Ringo to put on Puffin Rock characters, but you can.
Yeah, but you can, you have all the tools you need to know which Puffin Rock character you are. So sound off in the comments.
What else? Support Irish art.
That's the whole show.
Come back next week, I guess, when we will be sent into the far future. This is, again, a brief respite. And I should say, this has been Dad Talk.
And now I think that's it. We just have to go.
It was a whole episode of Dad Talk,
Yeah, a whole episode.
And it was Strange Bedfellows as far as our advertisers and impressions are concerned.
Yeah, and this has been the winter of our Chris Content. But I don't want to leave much talking after saying this has been Dad Talk.
You're right. Sorry. Goodbye. We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you.